Oh, en dames, gelukkig ook een paar. Kom erbij, kom lekker zitten. We hebben een tafel vol specialisten, waaronder James Whittaker. U heeft hem misschien al kunnen zien. Kom er lekker bij. Nou, gezellig. Kijk, zo wordt het nog wat. Ja, kom erbij, kom lekker zitten. Ja, kom erbij, ga lekker zitten. Hier is ook nog een leuk tafeltje. We hebben hier een tafel vol specialisten, onder andere James Whittaker en nog vele anderen. En we gaan het hebben over Internet of Things.
This is not for me. I won't let it be. No musical genocide. Give me a blues song. Tell the world what's wrong. And the gospel sang, giving those messages of love. Woe in the soul, man. With your heart in the palm of his hand, singing his stories of love and pain. Oh, I do not agree. I do not agree. This is not for me. No.
Oké, dames en heren, wij gaan beginnen met alweer de derde sessie van vandaag van Ask Me Anything, het nieuwe spraakmakende onderdeel van de Tech Days. Echt waar, hebben jullie er al over gehoord? Ja, hè? Daarom zitten jullie niet hier, toch? Ja, precies. De komende 20 minuten, 25 minuten kunnen jullie alles vragen, wat je maar wil, aan mijn gasten aan tafel, de deskundigen die ik zo aan je voor ga stellen. Dat vragen stellen, dat kan op twee manieren. Dat kan gewoon oldschool door je hand op te houden en dan is Femke daar met een microfoon. Je hoeft helemaal geen dansje of zo bij haar te doen, maar ze ziet er gewoon prachtig uit. Maar je kan gewoon een vraag stellen. Of je kan via SendSteps, dat is de techniek die wij gebruiken, kan je een vraag stellen. Je gaat dus naar sensei.com, log in met Ask Me, of je stuurt een sms en dan kan je een vraag aan ons stellen. Goed, ik ga nu, I will switch to English because we have international guests. So, welcome. James Whittaker, Distinguished Engineer at Microsoft. Janine Spence, Senior Product Manager, UX Design. And then we have Sander Berghauer, Microsoft MVP Directory Services. And Jeff Wouters, Microsoft MVP Windows PowerShell. Welcome. Let's directly start with a vote. Internet of Things is just for hobbyists. So you can all vote now. So grab your phone or your, you can also do it here at the table. So this is the way how it goes. Go to sensei.com. You can do it. Yeah, go ahead. And then it's open now. So we'll see how many people are going to vote. Do you want to see it again? Sensei.com. Log in with Ask Me or SMS.
0642500030.
And then type Ask Me. Spatie. We'll wait for a couple of votes, of course, because otherwise we have nothing to discuss about, huh? I think they're logging in. Three votes. Okay. A couple of more seconds.
If you don't vote, you have to wear her dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the suit underneath.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So start voting. It's going to be an interesting session here.
I saw more Dutch than I thought I was going to see.
Okay, let's see. Internet of Things is just for hobbyists. No way or for sure. Can I get a reaction?
Who said for sure?
Who said for sure?
Be honest, come on.
Yeah, you said so. Do you have a reason for that? You can say it in Dutch or in English, doesn't matter. Do you have a reason?
Well, I'm not really convinced yet that I've seen really professional applications of this Internet for Things. Okay. Maybe it's just me.
The zombies are going to get you, man.
He hasn't seen
I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Okay, give a reaction. Why is it not just for hobbyists? Go ahead, James.
I mean, it's already real, right? There's more traffic generated on the web by machines than there is by humans. It's here. It arrived.
No doubt.
No doubt.
And for you, Shanine?
I don't have any doubt about it being here and being real. I think it's just it's so invisible to a lot of people, as well as really being at the cusp of just of really changing,
mm-hmm.
changing our experiences.
Okay. And can you maybe say a little bit more about what can Internet of Things means for my company, for my enterprise? Anyone who wants to, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, sure. Sandra. It's so I've been doing some projects with an organization for all the dry cleaners in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really trying to digitalize their processes, and the Internet of Things is really going to help them to make the digitalization of their industry reality.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to, the idea now is to have barcodes ironed on clothing and even socks, and then just throughout the process with logistics and the dry cleaning themselves and logistics back again, you can just see where are my socks. So no socks being left and stuff like that. But also because
that's
it
very
is...
very nice.
Yeah.
that guy doesn't wear socks, that's why he doesn't think it's real.
Yeah, I think so. But
okay, before we continue, I would also like to... Can we switch to the cartoon? Yeah. Because we have Hans-Jan Rijbering here at the table. He was a former business consultant, but now he is a business cartoonist. Hans-Jan, do you already want to say something or are you just drawing?
I let my drawings do the talking, so...
Perfect. And you will continue drawing, so that's nice. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So we were stranded at the socks. Huh?
Yeah. So the socks, I think that's a really nice... not just an Internet of Things story, actually, but also a... a big data or data lake story, because mm-hmm. if you have social logins and stuff like that, then you can make recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a couple of colleagues that do have socks in the process and you don't, then you can say, well, maybe you should dry clean your socks as well.
Okay.
Because this is the way your colleagues do it.
And what are the newest things? Just tell us something about the newest interest of things, Internet of Things.
I haven't seen any practical applications that I would like yet, but I would imagine like a situation where you leave work, go to home, and automatically the Internet of Things, it notices, hey, he's leaving work, and halfway it will put on the coffee, or put on the microwave when you go to a holiday, and you forgot to turn down the power or
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, it will automatically do that.
But is it going to take over my life? That's what I'm so afraid of.
No, it's going to give you your life back, right? All your machines are going to be taking care of themselves, maintaining themselves, ordering their own. Your refrigerators are going to order your food. Your oven is going to bake your cake and know when to turn the oven off so that it doesn't burn.
Okay, but they're also going to tell me I'm drinking too much wine.
Well, like then you tell them to shut up, right? You have to maintain.
Yeah.
You're in charge.
Yeah, because that's what my fear is about, you know, the insurance companies, that they have so much control over my life.
Well, actually, I think insurance is going to work different in the future. I don't think you're going to have an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
I think your car is going to insure itself. Every time you get in your car is going to say, okay, who wants to insure this trip, right? And insurance is going to be kind of at a micro level. Banking's going to be at a micro level.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know your banker. You're not going to know your insurance
How
agent.
Far from now are we?
Well, we already have the technology to do it. It's just a matter of society catching up and being comfortable with it. Yeah. That's really a problem with the Internet of Things, right? People aren't comfortable with it yet. Technology's there. Stuff's easy.
How come, Shanine? How come you think that we are not comfortable with it?
Well, I think you're pointing to there's a paradigm shift that we're just not keeping up with, once we've relinquished control over in the past to organizations, to banks, to insurance companies, and making that shift to relinquishing that control, all those micro decisions over to machines, there is a trust level that has to be built up over time. I think that what's interesting is that we think there's a false sense of being able to choose and control what we've turned over to banks or insurance companies.
But there's no choice.
But there is, we don't.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we think there is, but
we think
not.
There is. Yeah.
But and the younger generation knows.
As a manager,
knows
how do I prepare? How do I prepare for this trend? How do I make sure that I'm ready for it then?
Well, step aside and let somebody more wise to the world take over. No, seriously.
I mean,
people,
if you want to react, please give a reaction to what the people are saying.
A lot of old people just need to stop bitching about this stuff.
So
it's
is Internet of Things taking over the jobs?
Oh, yeah. Well, computing has been doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We've destroyed the photography industry. We've destroyed the music industry. We've destroyed journalism. We're going to destroy manufacturing next with 3D printing. It's just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it on purpose, mind you. But progress always destroys the old. Out with the old, in with the new.
You agree?
Yeah.
The Industrial Revolution did it. Television did it. Radio did it. Computers did it. The web did it.
And then how...
now they're all doing it.
How can we get the most out of it? As an organization, as a manager, as...
Pay an Azure subscription? Maybe? I don't know.
Well, I think there's some truth in that. Because if you... regarding the first question, and my initial response is, well, if you say that Internet of Things is only for hobbyists, then I think you haven't seen the Microsoft solution yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the reason why I wanted to sit here is that if you look at the common core that is in Windows, in Xbox, in the IoT core, then there is a common core with identity. There's a common core of security. There's all common features across all those devices that make it really secure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try and do that with other solutions, with competing solutions, then I think you're gonna lack those features.
But you're gonna lack those features.
Yeah, you're not gonna have the integrated security that we're gonna offer with Device Guard. They were already offering with Federation for identity across devices.
But isn't it just a different way of thinking to convince the people to continue with it?
Well, I think it's very age-oriented, right? I'm in my 40s. I'm not comfortable taking a naked photo of myself and uploading it to Facebook, but both of my kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And so is their entire generation. They don't see any problem with that. And you can warn them, oh, somebody's going to see your naked picture. They're like, that's why I put it there. You know?
But then the picture goes around at high school, and they're like, oh, sorry.
No, they don't care. They don't care anymore. That was the high school generation before this high school generation. They don't care.
That was last year.
That's why they put it there. They're completely comfortable with giving up their privacy. Completely comfortable with it. They want it to be managed, right? Kids don't say Google anymore. Find a 15-year-old in the United States that says, Google it. They don't. They say, I'm going to look it up on my smartphone. All right? They're giving their phone credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
Google went from a noun to a verb to a utility that we don't talk about. It's crazy. Right? The differences in the generations is massive.
Well, I did hear some people talk about Internet of Things, and they're scared of it because eventually it will turn like a Skynet, as in Terminator.
Old people are always scared of new stuff.
Yeah.
That's I'm scared of the new stuff, you know?
You're old?
Yeah, I'm old.
No, but it's because we're not. We didn't grow with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have
it's
to.
It's new, so it's different, and therefore, you know, it must be shunned. But. Yeah.
But we can't stop it, so we have to deal with it.
That's why we have mortality.
Okay, we have a question in the audience.
Sorry. Yeah. Who?
Do you think we will value privacy less, and then that will make a shift in the Internet of Things? Because you need the data to analyze people, to
well,
change
I mean,
things.
So security and privacy are both kind of interesting in the Internet of Things. Security's better because you've removed the weakest link, which is a human. You have devices talking to each other, machines talking to each other. They can use really long passwords. They can authenticate with every word exchange if they want. You know, humans can't do that. So security gets a little bit better, but still not perfect. Privacy gets worse. because there's more data out there, and now the machines are controlling it, and they have to make a decision, right? Your hot tub has to figure out how to make decisions on your behalf, and it needs personal information. So we're going to have to get really good. We must use that data. The question is, can we anonymize it? And so that's really, privacy is an anonymization issue. The data is useful. The data needs to be there. Can we take the individual identifiers out of it successfully and still make the information useful? It's a technical problem.
But also, people are a lot of protective about their identity, about their self. So as long as companies use the data but enhance their lives instead of abusing it, I don't think people would actually mind giving away a little bit of privacy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it's a little bit sneaky. But
it's like Santa Claus. He knows a lot of shit about us. And we're cool with it because we get toys.
Yeah.
So it's a value prop. You're exactly right. It's a good point.
Yeah, perhaps it's also about the visualization, because when people log on, they'll say, this is my data. Well, actually, it's part of a real large set of data. And I think that's also, I think that's part of the problem.
But that's counter to the Internet of Things, though, because visualization doesn't make sense in the Internet of Things, because computers don't need to visualize anything. They just need the raw data.
Yeah, but you need reporters.
Yeah.
You need the managers. You need the monitors. You need to monitor the monitors. Yeah.
I hope not. It's got to be machines that are doing all that, or it's not going to be solvable.
Yeah. Well, still, you need to define the threshold, some boundaries. And if the machine notices or monitors something that goes beyond the boundaries, you want to get alerted, or even have a workflow in place that takes action upon that boundary.
Or that the machines learn that, hey, I did something my human didn't like, now let me not do that anymore, so that the machines actually learn these things, and you don't want to be bought. And the Internet of Things won't be successful if we're still messing with our machines, right? Unless they can take us out and let us be human again, right? We can interact with each other.
And then we get to the problem.
Then the promise of the Internet of Things is nothing.
Humans want to be, want to have the idea to be in control at some certain level. If it's automated,
I think
great,
it's the idea to be human, the desperate desire to be human again, to have human contact again and not be staring at this screen all the time. Yeah.
But
right?
Do you think that
that's the promise of the Internet of Things? Yeah. I can be human and I can interact with humans in very human ways. Holy shit, we haven't done that for 50 years.
But also,
you think that's coming back?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's the promise of the Internet of Things. Devices take care of themselves. We don't need the technology. It's in the background working for us on our behalf.
And the beauty, you don't need to be in control. You need to have the idea to be in control. And if you automated the thing and the systems work together and they provide you what you basically want, they're doing it for you.
I think I agree with you. Yeah, I think I agree with you. You're in control, but you don't have to do anything to be in control.
Like, so you have the idea of being in control.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the audience? Internet of Things, but also data and insights, or just the web?
No. We have answers. They might not match your questions, but we have answers.
Yeah. And there he is again.
Okay, go ahead.
How come you think you're in control when the computer makes the decision or your machine makes the decision?
Because you set the boundaries. You say set the boundaries where the computer is allowed to think.
I'm thinking about Minority Report, for instance. Those kind of choices are set upon by other people, and they decide for everyone.
Well, certain countries are certainly going to do that because that's the way they operate now, right?
Yeah.
A dictatorship is still a dictatorship in the Internet of Things.
Well, let's just make it smaller for you, Jeff. So what if you have a Fitbit, and you have scales, and you have a smart microwave? What would be your upper bound of the amounts of salads per week you are going to eat?
Zero. I don't eat salads.
Zero. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that upper bound or that lower bound is going to be different for anyone.
But do you have to set it, or do your machines figure it out? They're like, I have made salads for this guy 4 days in a row. I'm not making any more salads. Right. Yeah. And so maybe they can just figure it out. Maybe it's not boundary setting. It's just, you know, the machines are going to learn this.
So smart.
They're going to make a mistake, and then they're not going to make the same mistake twice. So just you better hope you never start liking salads, because you're not going to get them. You know?
Yeah, or he's just going to start eating salad because of the machine is making salad.
Yeah.
That's possible. Do we
have
another
question?
Is it not a problem that the manufacturers of the things don't want to share the data? So The promise you have is that the machines are going to talk to each other, but the manufacturers will want to have the data only for themselves.
Well, I think that's the world we have now, right? Google wants its data. Facebook wants its data. They got valuable data, and they're going to be the only ones that monetize that data. I think that's yesterday's world. I think that if you don't play in this new open world, no one's going to want your devices. If my Fitbit won't work with my laptop, which won't work with my phone, why would I want that world? And so we'll self-select them out of the ecosystem.
Do you agree, Shanine?
I do. I think what we're trying to apply to this is an old paradigm. But actually, it's not even that old of a paradigm. So I'm thinking about this idea that we can control machines. It was something that was introduced because we had to fiddle with them. We had to actually construct them. And it's moved past that. Because if you step back and you just think, okay, weather, farming.
Yeah.
Nobody ever had the illusion they were in control. You do things to mitigate or manage or work with it. And so it's that idea of actually just letting go.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to be a process. It's an emotional process. Not necessarily an intellectual one, and we have to. Mm-hmm. And it's a shift in our belief system that machines are things that we construct.
But I think we are in that shift, right?
Yeah, we're shifting.
Yeah.
But a lot of the paradigms that we apply to it are ones that are mm-hmm. that are outdated, and it is hard for us to shift to a new way of looking at it. Because I think that the comment you were making about teenagers being so comfortable posting things that we just would be just can't believe. They're using that to construct their social reality, and their social reality they're constructing is very different than the social
their
reality.
Their thoughts behind it are totally different than how we
and
think.
And that's their way. It's a way of connecting, a way of living in the world, that's mediated through the medium itself.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the same way that earlier generations existed in the world, mediated through other mediums.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's a shift, but we're not keeping up with it very well.
And when you look at the shift of social media, mm-hmm. it just happened. Mm-hmm. So I think that will be the same with Internet of Things. Before you noticed, it just happened.
Mm-hmm. It is there.
We embraced it.
Yeah. If we take a look at data and insights, how can IT help the organization to get data and insights?
Never lose your socks again.
Can you explain that a little bit more? How can IT help?
Well, I think the thought of a data lake, mm-hmm. or at least connected data lakes, where information can be exchanged through APIs and stuff like that, open standards, and I think Microsoft is doing a really good job there,
mm-hmm.
That we are going to be able to do the insights and not just help people let go, but perhaps even stop worrying about stuff. So if you look at
so give them confidence or give them
or give them their life back. And I think if you're there, then the next step might be even more frightening today, but would be just logical in 5 years' time,
mm-hmm.
for instance.
Okay. Do you want to say something to that?
No? Thank you. Summed it up.
All right.
Okay.
Question answered.
And what's actually use of data and insights?
Well, I mean, when you look at purchase decisions, I've always imagined walking down the street and, you know, thinking, oh, I'm hungry, telling my phone I'm hungry, and having this go out and figure out, okay, who's got it? Where's the data that helps my person eat? Which restaurants have empty tables? And that's data, right? Which restaurants are willing to give my person a discount? That's data, right? And so being able to process that data and use it in ways that we don't use it, that's really the key.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need entrepreneurs to do, is figure things. Where's the data that allows my human to do the things that my human does all the time? And the people who do that are going to be the people who succeed in spades in over the next few years.
And the systems will basically start defining you as an entity with certain preferences, etc. But then your preferences may be similar to your preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And you just found this restaurant, which you found great. Then you walk nearby that restaurant, you start looking for a restaurant, and hey, apparently I found somebody with the same interests that likes that restaurant. Maybe you want to go there.
Yeah, but I think our machines have to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to discover now. I can look on Yelp, I can look on that, I can look on this, I don't want to do any of that stuff.
But that's the problem. Yelp and all those other sites are just...
Find me a damn beer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But is it that we more need to listen more to the wishes, what the clients want, instead of inventing it?
Which is data, right? Mm-hmm. Ah, James stayed at that bar for 2 hours. He walked in and out of that bar after, one beer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if
that's
he's really thirsty,
beer.
He's going to yell at me.
Yeah. And they'll notice these things, and they'll figure it all out. And then they'll be able to do comparisons. Because he's got, like you said... He said that bar and that beer and that beer are both really delicious. James spent a lot of time in that one, and our machine will figure out James is going to like that one too.
Yeah.
Right? And they're going to get to the point, and we're going to go through this phase where, they're not really good, the recommendations are kind of, but they're going to figure it out.
But
and in a few years, the recommendations, they're going to know what we like more than we know what we like.
Okay, but yeah. Can I say something myself?
You got that dress on. You can say whatever you want.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I walk into a bar, but it's also depending on the people who are inside the bar, not just the beer or the bartender.
Which is also data, right? We know who's in that bar.
Oh, my God.
We might not. It might be anonymous, but we know you're in that bar.
Okay.
But it's also about the atmosphere. I mean, is everybody really waiting for things like this
to
happen?
Not for me. My device knows it's about the beer. Mm-hmm. My device, I don't give a shit who else is in there if that beer is good.
Yeah, and I don't give a shit about the beer, but about the atmosphere.
I made her say shit.
After five beers, I don't even...
You don't care.
I don't care about anything anymore. Yep.
No, but really, are we really waiting for things like this to happen? Is that really what we want?
Things like this are going to happen whether we wait for them or not. They are going to happen.
They are already happening.
They're already happening, yep.
Yeah, we've got Untappd, we've got Yelp, we've got Facebook. If you make a connection between those three, mm-hmm. you're already there.
Yeah.
It can be done in months.
Okay, if let's say I want more data and insights, how do I do that? What kind of tools does Microsoft has for that?
What do you want?
Well, actually, I'd like to come. Data and insights are two different things,
mm-hmm.
and so depending on your approach, the data, the quantitative data that I think we're alluding to, but not explicitly stating this accumulation, is not necessarily going to lead to insights without the qualitative side of it, but without understanding some of the motivation behind it. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to get better targeting around what could be an insight, mm-hmm. but
you're going to get some stupid insights for a while until the system works its way out.
And balancing that out with the qualitative side of things, so really understanding what is working for people, what's not working for people.
And
so
the machines can also make mistakes.
Yes, it's not a one-way street. Once. I mean, there's U-turns.
I made her say shit, and I made him draw a beer. I'm sorry.
And naked women.
Naked women.
I think you even draw a naked gent.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yikes.
Okay, do you have another question? No? I thought so. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's completely related, but I was just wondering if talking to devices is ever going to work. Like, it never seems to actually work, just talking to machines.
It's getting awfully good. I used to run the speech team at Microsoft. They all reported to me for about a year and a half, and I would track it. I was really, really careful about collecting that data. I think it's getting scary good. But, the U.S. is the first country this stuff's released in. English is the first language this stuff is released in. So I think I have a biased view mm-hmm. of the world. But, man, I don't remember the last time this Windows phone messed up a word that I said. So, there's a shift from hidden Markov models to deep neural networks about 3 years ago, and there was a huge leap forward. And now we're beginning to master deep neural networks. So I think you can expect that problem to be fully solved in English US in a very short period of time. For the rest of the world, a little bit longer than that.
On TV, it seems that it's just used for comedy, like just to make fun of the whole idea of it, because
even if it's just a small mistake, it can end up disastrously.
Yeah,
and
it can, right? But all technology is like this. All technology, and we were talking about the data and insights. The insights are going to be stupid. It's going to tell you to go places that, you know, a map will tell you to walk to a place that you shouldn't really be walking to. All that's the nature of technology. Right? You have this period of these egregious, funny mistakes, and then it all settles down, and all of a sudden we're taking it for granted. We're laughing at it a year ago. Now we're taking it for granted, and we're laughing at something else. That's just the nature of the beast.
But the whole point about it is to enhance your life, or as you said, it give your life back.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's to me. That's the ultimate goal. Give me my life back. Take these screens away. Give me my life back.
But I don't think that people see it that way. I think that we're still, but I tell me if I'm wrong, that we're still seeing it as life is taking off.
Well, people are hesitant to change. So if they see the benefits, baby steps.
Yeah.
If they see the benefits step by step by step, they will gradually go into internet.
Then it will happen without really noticing what's happening, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. We are actually coming to the end of this session. Are there any more questions in the audience? Because, yeah, we have a question over here. There is a microphone coming your way.
All right, so, you a lot of, like, there are a lot of examples of visionaries that predict, like, in 10 or 15 years, or this and that is really, it's going to happen. Like, you're very convincing in what you say is going to happen. But do you see any reason for it that it might not happen? What could be a reason that it doesn't happen like the way you say? What could be a reason that that stops this development?
Well, I'm quite careful about my predictions. I don't predict anything for which the technology isn't already there. Right? I'm not making any prediction about whether it's going to be graphene, carbon nanotubes, or a quantum computer that continues Moore's Law, but I do think Moore's Law is going to continue because one of those three things is going to work. Everything you saw in my talk, I'm sure of, because the technology is basically already there. It's a small matter of programming, and we'll get to it. So I'm pretty careful about, and I got a pretty good track record.
I would say that law and legislation could slow things down.
Yeah, there's always the lawyers. But we can build machines that kill the lawyers, right? I mean, who? What's a few lawyers among friends, right? We can.
Okay,
that's actually one of the biggest threats to progress is the law, and legislating us into a corner where we can't innovate anymore.
But even when you take basic privacy laws into account, they haven't caught up with internet as a concept.
Yeah.
So
well, we can't even do green energy without running into laws meant to protect polluting energies, and so, you know.
Yeah, but they're on a different pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So perhaps English wasn't the right choice for speech, but legalese might have been.
Yeah, maybe. Lawyers speak.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for being here at my table. For you, the audience, we have a half hour after this that you can have a meet and greet with the people on the table, ask more questions. They will stay here a little bit longer. We also have the theme cards on the table, so grab one if you want to know what's else on the on Tech Days. I would like to thank you for being here. Spread the word and see what other sessions we still have today. We have two more sessions, and tomorrow we're here the whole day. So thank you very much, and
You're
see you
welcome.
Next time.
Thank you, guys.
Hans-Jan, do you have a final? Okay.